In the twilight of the Civil War, as a weary nation began healing its wounds, a single gunshot shattered the peace. On April 14, 1865, John Wilkes Booth entered Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. with murder in his heart. The celebrated 26-year-old actor slipped into President Abraham Lincoln's box during a performance of Our American Cousin, pressed a small Derringer pistol to the back of Lincoln's head, and fired. In that moment, a night of comedy transformed into national tragedy. Lincoln slumped forward, mortally wounded, while Booth leapt to the stage below, shouting, "Sic Semper Tyrannis, the South is avenged." Despite breaking his leg in the fall, the assassin escaped into the night, beginning what would become one of history's most dramatic manhunts. Just 5 days earlier, the Confederate surrender at Appomattox Courthouse had effectively ended 4 years of bloody civil war. Lincoln had begun focusing on reconciliation, calling for malice toward none with charity for all. Now, as doctors carried the unconscious president across the street to a boarding house, the fragile peace seemed in jeopardy. Secretary of War Edwin Stanton took command, turning a small back room into an emergency headquarters while Lincoln fought for life in an adjacent bedroom. By morning, the president was dead, and a traumatized nation faced a new crisis: catching his killer. Booth's attack was part of a coordinated plot to decapitate the Union government. As he fired at Ford's Theater, Lewis Powell attacked Secretary of State Seward, who survived only because a metal splint protecting his broken jaw deflected Powell's knife. George Atzerodt, assigned to kill Vice President Johnson, lost his nerve and spent the evening drinking instead. Booth initially planned to kidnap Lincoln and exchange him for Confederate prisoners, only shifting to assassination after the South's defeat. His accomplice David Harold waited outside Seward's home but fled when screams erupted, leaving Powell lost in unfamiliar streets. The theater provided Booth perfect staging for his crime. Familiar with every corridor from his performances there, he had prepared meticulously, drilling a peephole in the presidential box door and installing a wooden bar to prevent interruption. Booth expected to be celebrated as a Southern hero, but would soon discover that even Confederate newspapers condemned his act as a crime that would only bring further suffering to the defeated South. While Washington descended into chaos, Booth galloped toward the Navy Yard Bridge to Maryland. Despite the late-night curfew, he convinced the guard to let him pass by giving his real name and claiming he was heading home to Charles County. This crucial mistake by Sergeant Silas Cobb allowed Booth's escape. David Harold arrived shortly after and was also permitted through. The conspirators reunited and rode southeast toward their first planned safe house. Around midnight, they reached the Surratt Tavern in Surrattsville, collecting weapons, ammunition, and whiskey that Mary Surratt had arranged. By dawn, they arrived at Dr. Samuel Mudd's farmhouse, where he set Booth's broken leg, provided a crude crutch, and allowed them rest. Though Mudd later claimed ignorance of Booth's identity, evidence suggests he knew exactly who his patient was. As news of Lincoln's death spread, Secretary Stanton mobilized thousands of soldiers and detectives, launching the largest manhunt in American history with a $50,000 reward. Meanwhile, the fugitives continued south, guided by Southern sympathizers. Samuel Cox arranged for Thomas Jones to hide them in a dense pine thicket while manhunters swept the area. For 5 days, Booth and Harold remained hidden, surviving on limited supplies from Jones. The newspapers Jones delivered revealed universal condemnation of the assassination, shocking Booth, who had expected to be celebrated. Frustrated, he wrote in his datebook, "I struck boldly, and not as the papers say. I shouted Sic Semper before I fired. In jumping, broke my leg." On April 20, Jones provided the fugitives with a small boat and compass directions to Virginia. However, Booth and Harold became disoriented in the darkness and accidentally rowed back to Maryland, landing farther north, a mistake costing them another full day in hiding. Meanwhile, detectives arrested several accomplices, including Lewis Powell, who appeared at Mary Surratt's boarding house during her questioning, and George Atzerodt, who was captured at his cousin's farm and quickly implicated others. On April 22nd, Booth and Harold finally crossed the Potomac, reaching Virginia 9 days after the assassination. Booth's infected leg caused constant agony. They sought help from Elizabeth Quesenberry, a former Confederate spy who arranged horses for their journey toward Richmond. Their next stop was Dr. Richard Stewart's home, but the doctor, recognizing them as fugitives, offered only a meal. Insulted, Booth later sent Stewart a bitter letter with payment. They spent that night at William Lucas's cabin, a poor farmer who reluctantly sheltered them. By April 24, the fugitives reached Port Conway on the Rappahannock River, where they met three Confederate soldiers returning home. After Harold revealed their identities, the soldiers helped them cross to Port Royal and arranged lodging at Richard Garrett's farm. Garrett welcomed them, believing Booth was a wounded Confederate soldier named James W. Boyd. Meanwhile, War Department Detective Lafayette Baker intercepted intelligence about men crossing the Potomac and dispatched Lieutenant Edward Doherty with cavalry in pursuit. On April 25, they captured Willie Jett, who revealed the fugitive's location. Around midnight on April 26, 12 days after the assassination, the cavalry surrounded the Garrett farmhouse. The suspicious Garretts had locked Booth and Harold in their tobacco barn. Lieutenant Baker demanded their surrender, threatening to burn the barn if they refused. During the standoff, Harold surrendered while Booth shouted, "You damned coward!" Cornered, Booth prepared for his final stand. As Everton Conger set fire to the barn, Booth stood in the center with weapons ready. Through a crack in the barn wall, Sergeant Boston Corbett saw Booth raising his carbine and fired, his bullet striking Booth in the neck and severing his spinal cord. Soldiers carried the paralyzed Booth to the Garrett's porch, where he whispered, "Tell Mother I die for my country." Looking at his useless hands, he murmured his final words, "Useless, useless." At dawn on April 26, Booth died, ending the 12-day manhunt. In the military trial that followed, four conspirators, Mary Surratt, Lewis Powell, David Harold, and George Atzerodt, were hanged on July 7, 1865. Surratt, the first woman executed by the federal government, generated significant controversy. Dr. Mudd, Samuel Arnold, and Michael O'Laughlin received life sentences, while Edmund Spangler got 6 years. Though Booth killed Lincoln, he failed in his larger goal. Instead of rallying the South to continue fighting, his act transformed Lincoln into a martyr whose vision for reconciliation gained moral authority through his sacrifice. Reconstruction under Andrew Johnson's lenient approach and conflicts with Congress hindered genuine reconciliation. Today, Ford's Theater serves as both monument and working playhouse. The room where Lincoln died remains a solemn reminder of what America lost. Lincoln's unfinished work, creating a more perfect union with true equality, continues to challenge each generation of Americans in our ongoing journey toward justice.